In today's episode, Samantha has all the posters, JJ stretches his arms real wide, I would sit through all the jokes, and Mike just wants everyone to have fun. This is A Nightmare on Elm Street. I wish you'd given me one more second because that was the perfect thing to say. Welcome to Fun Sphere Movie Club. Hi, I'm Josh, and I just had a mouthful of food.
Well, with the magic of editing, you can still make that connection possible.
I can, indeed. All right.
Also, I'm Frayson.
You're which one?
Frayson.
Race.
Half Freddy, half Jason.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. So Freddy Voorhees, Jason Krueger. Isn't Jason Krueger the singer of Nickelback?
Might be. That's the scariest thing I've heard all so far.
I thought his name was Mr. Nickel.
It's Mr. Nickel and Mr. Back.
Yeah. I'm a solar eclipse that's happening.
Oh, yeah.
Today.
It is today.
And I hope we're at this. Oh, it's happening now. You can see the little half moon shadows on the ground.
Hmm. Really?
That's pretty frightening.
Yep, I see it right now. Because it's not normal. Like, when they're the little half moons.
I'm going to look outside real quick.
Yeah, let's all look outside real quick.
That's not normal leaf shadows. Everyone look at the sun.
Look directly at it. Let's get back to A Nightmare on Elm Street if we could. All right, so okay. A Nightmare on Elm Street is a 1984 American supernatural slasher film written and directed by Wes Craven. It is the first installment in the Nightmare on Elm Street film franchise, and it is the debut of the killer named Freddy Krueger.
All right off the bat, his name on everything right from the get-go, or did he establish himself and then started throwing his name on everything?
Who are you talking about?
Wes Craven.
Yes, this is his,
this is what made him start putting his name on stuff.
I think he's always put his name on stuff, but,
what an arrogant asshole.
He's good. I like Wes Craven. Now, actually, you know what? He doesn't put his name on
Scrub
because he didn't put his name on Scream.
It's pronounced Scrub. No.
Yeah, but, Wes Craven, especially when it comes to like horror films that he directs, besides Scream, I guess, he's pretty prominent about putting his name on there. Wes Craven's A Nightmare on Elm Street, Wes Craven's A New Nightmare. I think he's got some others too. I can't think of at the moment.
If that's the case, then we should all be able to do our version. Like Mike Bartlett's A Nightmare on Elm Street.
I think you can.
You 100% can.
Okay.
And it's legal. 100% legal. And you'll be fine. And nothing will happen. You should definitely.
Yeah. I've already started.
I'll finance it with the money I get from my Steam lawsuit.
All right. So let's talk about this film series. And our history with it, and I'm just going to say this, guys, there's a very specific reason that I picked this one, because this is the only film in which Freddy is actually played straight and scary. The rest of them, from this point on...
Are you kidding? It was a joke in this one.
There are jokes in
How
it,
How much
yes.
more silly does he get?
Oh, Mike, you cannot even imagine. Because, I'll be honest with you, Freddy, from this point on, he became a pop cultural sensation. So, yeah, that's why I wanted you guys to see this one. This is kind of where he's... The last time he has played really straight and like he's supposed to be really scary.
Wow, that was what I was going to talk about. Was I thought the slapsticky nature of the guy was pretty interesting. I mean,
it is. Okay, so tell us your thoughts on that.
Well, before I was going to say another movie I thought would be ruined, this time because of the Treehouse of Horror.
Oh, yes, yes.
I did spend the entire movie thinking, like, all right, so when does he turn into a lawnmower? And I did kind of get that scene. He was just he was the car instead.
Yes, yes. So it definitely has a pitch-perfect parody from The Simpsons in the Treehouse of Horror, where Groundskeeper Willie is Freddy Krueger. Oh, okay.
But yeah, I thought the comedic relief was a fun take.
Okay.
It made it there's something about the tongue-in-cheek stuff that makes you more. Like, especially when you're of Samantha and I's opinion, where we're like, I don't really like this stuff. It's cheesy. It's like their way of letting you know, like, we're in on it. We know it's cheesy. Okay.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah. I think that's what I like about Scream as well. But I still wish, I still get bummed out when they all just get
Can't they all live?
They just live or at least get killed in like a ritualistic cult type way, and you just find the body later all laid out like pentagrams and some kind of eldritch abomination.
Are you specifically referring to Scream, or are you talking about A Nightmare Here?
All slasher films.
Okay.
I just want to see one where both sides give each other a good run for their money, but at the end they all shake hands and that's good.
Were they all, you know what, the only sort of, I don't even know if it counts as a slash film, I've only seen it once, but I remember it was a fun time. I did like Jennifer's Body.
I have not seen that.
Never
one.
Heard
I've
it.
Actually heard it's pretty good from a horror film yeah. perspective.
I was surprised.
That would be pretty interesting. Have a horror character who really wants to kill people, but then they change his mind. And he's like, I no longer yeah. want to kill people. You've made me see the light.
Really high.
So what journey do you want to follow with this, though? Done. Do you want to see him be better? Understand yeah. why he's... Oh, so then he probably has to kill everyone in the first act and then all of a sudden become better. Seems like it's a lot.
Mm-hmm. Redemption. He finds
a murderer... Or somebody who is trying to be a murderer. He successfully murders somebody... Immediately feels horrible about it, and then spends the third act just trying to redeem himself.
So basically, what we want is what they did with Terminator.
Yes, yes, it is.
Yep.
That is what.
We want. All right, but let's get back to A Nightmare on Elm Street. JJ, what are your thoughts of this film series?
So, going back and revisiting, I made a mistake and I watched part four first. I mixed a couple of things up and realized why would anyone start off with this one? And so I just went back, looked at our notes and went back to the yeah. first one. But I remember the fourth one being so funny, going back to the first yeah. one. And to Josh's point, there are some funny parts to it, but it's so serious. And Freddy Krueger's in it. I mean, he's only in it for like 15 minutes, it feels like, total.
Yes.
So, as opposed to watching four when he is the majority of the movie. You don't even care about the teenagers. You're wanting to see what one-liner he has, what steps, you know, what catchphrase he's going to say and how he's going to kill people. So, kind of like, yeah, I don't know. But that's my experience with it is watching it when I was younger. I was terrified to go to sleep.
Yes.
Just because we would always watch it late, you know. Oh, you know, we'll rent it from the Blockbuster or whatever. And then we'll, let's just watch it. Mom and Dad are in bed. We'll watch this movie and make it about 10 minutes through and have to go play a video game or something else because we're too terrified to watch it. And then fall asleep.
I'm with JJ. Unlike the other film that we talked about, when I was young, Freddy was very terrifying to me. And I think it's because I am a person that doesn't have nightmares a lot. Like, I'm talking like one every 5 years. Mm. And so, like, when I have a nightmare, it's a nightmare, and I'm pretty much aware of it. So, a villain, a monster that can attack you through your dreams, through your nightmares, is just like, it always seemed super scary to me, especially like when I was younger. But I love this film series. It's great. And like, I do like to kind of go back and forth between, like, if I watch 3 or 4 or 5, it's nice to go back to this one kind of like as a palate cleanser to try to see what they originally wanted Freddy to be. And how, like, I think the special effects in this film are fantastic. Especially for, this is the most crazy thing I've seen about this. This film had a budget of $1.1 million. And it grossed $57 million worldwide. So that is a buku return on your investment.
That's a financial success.
Indeed. Also, this is kind of one of the rare ones that this film also had critical praise. A lot of people liked this film when it came out. So it's really cool.
Well, it was competing with, oh my God, the one we just talked about.
Yes.
Yeah. Friday the 13th. But
actually, Mike, this is, there's another fun little thing. So these both came out the same year, right?
Uh-huh.
So this one was starting up when the other one was supposed to be ending. But because this one was so successful, they kept going with Friday the 13th.
Did these both come out the same time, or was that the one that you said came out in April?
This one came out in November. So at that point, Jason was supposed to be done.
Okay.
And then this one came out and kind of like re-sparked the thing. They're like, you know what? Back to the well. We got to go get that money if they're making $57 million off of $1 million bucks.
Scorp.
All right. So, Samantha, you got any thoughts on this?
This was like the first time I watched it, I think. But when I was a little kid, of course, by that point, everybody knew who Freddy was. So I was already afraid of him.
Okay.
Just like I was afraid of the pirate ghost that my cousin told me was in my grandma's house. And also the puddle that sucked people in that my cousin told me was in my grandma's barn. And Bloody Mary.
Okay.
And I didn't know what anxiety was, but there's a lot of hints there as a kid. I was very afraid of somebody saying the chant or the rhyme at me.
Okay. Interesting.
And cursing me, I felt like. But I hadn't even seen the movie, but I was always very afraid of Freddy. But it doesn't really live up to my childhood fears. I'll tell
okay.
You.
What's the puddle like, more scary?
I'll tell you a scarier
puddle
dream.
Is definitely more scary.
When your teeth fall out.
Oh, I have those a lot. Same. That's anxiety. Another recurring nightmare I have is outside my window, the ocean. Rising and rising and rising. I have nightmares every
night. So that is how Freddy would tailor the dream to kill you. Is he would make it an ocean that kills you.
A sea of probably teeth.
A sea of teeth for Mike.
Ugh.
Yep.
Or when I worked at Menchie's, I had this recurring nightmare where it'd be time to close and be filled with people, and I'd just be in there like screaming for people to leave, and they wouldn't leave, and they'd laugh at me, and I'd be like, I'm gonna call the cops, and you guys have to leave, we're closed, and they'd just be like, ha 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 ha.
Not even ordering.
They're always.
No, just like in there.
So the thing that always terrified me about Freddy is how powerful he is. You know, like the...
Yeah, he's got dream powers.
He controls your dream. And that is someone that's like, I'm a very lucid dreamer. I'm often very much aware that I'm in a dream. So it's like the idea of a monster that has that type of power while you're in a nightmare is truly kind of like really creative and really scary. Like the glove and stuff like that, that's just the finishing touch. That's the but like the real scary thing is what he changes your dreams, and they do a lot of interesting stuff in later films with that about how much control and power he's got on that. I see JJ laughing because we're both thinking about some that are like, and some he's just like, you know what? Let's do this. Why not? Let's have a cartoon.
Yep.
Let's have a karate fight.
Is New Nightmare the one where he comes to like the real world? Because that's kind of an interesting.
Yes, that is an interesting one as well. The New Nightmare is they, much like they don't do with Jason, they definitely fine-tuned Freddy's origins over the subsequent films, and the New Nightmare has a very interesting like twist on that. Like, it's talking about the, you know, I think, what is it? It's like a dream demon, and it's like, well, it's decided to take on Freddy's form now, thanks to these films and stuff like that. It's very interesting.
That's
Do they ever explain how they settled on such an oddly specific outfit?
I really feel like they threw that glove on him. They were like, he's just a guy.
Actually,
in the fedora.
Yes, Mike, yes, it just happened to be something that Fred Krueger, like a lot of people call him Fred Krueger before he's the Dream Demon, that was kind of like his personal style. And he did use that weapon when he was a serial killer. So he just kind of took it with him when he became a Dream Demon.
Seems so ineffective for a serial killer.
Well, that is rarely the way he actually kills anyone with the glove. It's just, that's just his accessory, much like the fedora.
That's just so they could, I'm just thinking from a design point of view there. Like, they probably added that glove last.
I don't know about that, but they certainly could have. Like, something to give him to, so he stands out, you know, so.
Yeah.
Jason's got his machete, Michael Myers has his kitchen knife, and, you know, he's got his razor blade fingers.
Just give him some flashy high tops.
Fair tap shoes.
Yeah.
Like, he gave him some Bayonetta shoes. Shoes and guns.
So I remember reading something about his shirt, though. Couple days ago, actually, and they were talking about the combination of those, the red and green, and those shirts are unsettling. So
yes,
you have a hard time.
Is it
looking
green
at it.
Or brown?
Brown, green.
No, it's it's red and green.
It's Christmas.
It's Christmas because Christmas is unsettling.
Take that back.
No, but look, yeah, the color combination of. I think that was also picked because it is like, you're like, what is up with that shirt? It makes me feel uncomfortable. Like back at when that dress, was it yellow or was it brown or what was that thing?
It was blue and black or white.
Yeah. That thing. That did make me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. I thought I had a brain tumor. I didn't realize it was more about like the screen you're looking at.
So, Josh, I have a question for you, though. So, with you not having nightmares and can kind of control your dreams, if someone like Freddy Krueger came in and started dropping some of his lines like he did like in part 4, 3, 4, 5, would you want to just stick around for the show? I mean...
Absolutely. I would be there. I don't care what the result is. I have to watch that. I have that with normal dreams, like, where stuff like... I'm dreaming about, like, I have no idea, like, who these people are or anything like that. I want to sit back and watch this like a TV show. So if Freddy started showing, like, and he was doing, like, his type 5 of, like, joke lines for me, I'm absolutely there. What else I have to deal with is fine, you know. But if he's got the jokes, I'm going to sit through his set. I am, for sure. All right. Did you guys know this film series actually has a basis in real life?
No way.
Okay. Yes. So, Wes Craven talked about the inspiration for The Dream. In the very late 70s or late 80s, there was a... I'm trying to think about how to explain this. There was a real-life medical condition where people would develop the inability to go to sleep because they felt like if they went to sleep, they would die.
Mm.
And it was...
That's how I feel when I take NyQuil. That's why I don't take NyQuil.
Yeah, but it was actually, like, it's very prominent amongst... South Asian immigrants, and there was a big phenomenon in the late 70s and early 80s of about 5 or 6 people dying from this symptom, and like it was in the news. So Wes Craven read this and he's like, wow, that's wild. And so from there he started crafting Freddy Krueger, the monster that could kill you in dreams. And you know, there's so many of the characters in the films will like even start, you know, they start trying not to sleep and do all that stuff, not to sleep, not to dream, stuff like that. That was like some of the way they were acting, like all stressed out and all that stuff like that. That was how some of these real life people were acting that were having this syndrome.
Well, yeah, because they weren't
sleeping. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yep. So.
That's interesting.
That is an interesting little tidbit.
But they were all immigrants? Were they just exposed to something on the...
No. These were people from Cambodia and Vietnam that came to the United States. And it's nothing like... I don't think it was anything cultural with them or anything like that. And it was nothing like... They weren't exposed to anything not like a toxin or anything like that that would have caused it. It just literally happened to them. So, that's crazy.
Must be some psychological thing.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's bonkers. That reminded me of Sandman, except I think they have the opposite problem in that.
Sandman? I'm not familiar with that.
Neil Gaiman.
Neil Gaiman's Sandman. Yeah, I'm familiar with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Except they just don't. They sleep too much.
So, what did you guys think about, like, the cast? Again, we have the horror franchise thing of The Last Girl, which is something I honestly hope never goes away from horror films, because I think it's always just super fun to, like, say, like, all right, that one's going to be The Last Girl, and then that person's going to die first. Like, you get a sixth sense for it watching these films over time. You definitely do.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
Oh, Mr. Depp.
Yep, you had baby Johnny Depp.
Yep. Oh.
Straight out of, what would it have been, 21 Jump Street? This was his, I think, feature film debut. Let's see here. Looking through this. So, Mike, I can also answer... Wes Craven does not always put his name on the first thing of films besides Scream. Because he directed Swamp Thing, the movie, which Wow. I don't think we'll do an episode on that, but you guys should track that down on YouTube, I'm sure.
That's a for people that are like potential fans of his work, that's a pretty damning thing to do. Is, yeah, I know ahead of time that this is going to be a piece of shit, so I'll intentionally hide my name from it.
Swamp Thing is a part of the new DC launch, though. It's one of their new movies that they're coming out with. Yeah,
they're going to try to. Like you guys, if you ever want to look up, like he has had a very interesting film career, like Wes Craven. Like, and I think he actually has a connection to Knoxville somehow. I can't remember, but yeah, he's had a very interesting career.
I get Wes Craven and John Carpenter mixed up when it comes to certain movies. Did Wes Craven do? Well, it's terrible. Oh, yeah. But did Wes Craven do People from Under the Stairs, or was that John Carpenter?
Let's see. Let's see here. John Carpenter did The Hills Have Eyes, Swamp Thing, Vampire in Brooklyn. Let's see here. The People Under the Stairs was Wes Craven.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds creepy.
Ooh, not really.
Oh, it's not. It's about Harry Potter.
It's not about Harry Potter.
It's his whole family.
I have not seen that film, but I'm guessing it's not about Harry Potter.
Oh, you should watch it.
It has a 70% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It wasn't bad. I remember seeing that in the theaters. I saw that and Candyman all within the same few years.
Candyman. That's a good one.
I've seen Candyman.
It's terrifying.
I've seen...
There's a lot of bees in it. Very little candy, actually.
All right, so... Go ahead, JJ.
Well, I was going to say, you know, you add a little bit of dialogue to a character, and then you get something like Freddy Krueger when you compare it to, say, Mike Myers and Jason. Is it better? Would it be a better movie if he was just quietly killing people the entire time?
I'm going to say no to that. And not just because I know the evolution the character takes. Freddy... Jason and Michael work as silent protagonists or antagonists because they are so physically, like, imposing. Yeah, I guess that's the best word. Freddy is not. Freddy is a little guy. He is a little fellow.
Oh, little Freddy.
Also, so as we often have to do here, JJ, we always have to relate things to Star Wars.
Okay.
So the so here we go. The actor who plays Freddy is named Robert Englund, and he is known throughout Hollywood as being like one of the best actors to work with. But this is how we relate it to Star Wars. His roommate in 1976/77 was Mark Hamill, and he told Mark Hamill about the casting for Luke Skywalker, and he encouraged him to go and audition. So, Mark Hamill...
Because Mark hadn't been paying
as well. I don't know about that. Hamill seems like a guy who picks up the check versus somebody that owes you money. I'm just going to say that.
I'm just saying, maybe he didn't have any work for a while, that's all.
Actually, Mark Hamill was a voice actor before he played, even before he was Luke Skywalker. He's a very famous voice actor, I would argue.
Was he then?
I know he's a voice actor.
He played. There was a I Dream of Jeannie cartoon series, and yeah,
what?
And he was the male character on it.
Huh.
Yeah.
Oh, the one.
Okay. So. Like I said, I was told you guys I was really impressed by the special effects. What do you think was the coolest kill in this film? Or, like, the scariest scene? Doesn't necessarily have to be the kill, because there's a couple of scenes that I think are, like, really creepy that he doesn't actually kill anybody in. Like, the one where he's coming through the wall where she's got the crucifix.
Oh, yeah.
I know, JJ, you keep doing the arm thing.
That's terrifying.
The super long arm, stretchy Armstrong part is a little terrifying, yes.
The girl, they just show the outside, like what it looks like in the real world. That one was good. It also reminded me of a scene in Penny Dreadful, though it was very different.
Okay. Or a lot about the fact that the film keeps, like, is this a dream? Is this real life? Is this just fantasy?
Yeah, the...
I can't remember.
I've been having these weird thoughts.
The final...
Oh, she has red hair.
The final jump scare was absolutely terrifying.
Yes. Very good. Very good. Not saying a lot about this one. But
I'm having trouble remembering this one.
Really? Did you watch any of the others?
No, I just watched the first one. And I tried to watch it last year, and I only got like 10 minutes in, and I thought, eh.
Really?
I don't feel like watching this.
Huh.
I haven't even watched the second one, but I feel like I know more about the second one. Because it gets brought up a lot. They're like essays, video essays.
Yes, it's definitely has some very interesting subtext to be addressed, especially in the 1980s. I'll say this, like I mentioned earlier, that Freddy kind of became like a pop culture sensation after this film came out, and especially after the next couple. He was often, I think, on MTV. Like, I think he was a VJ once. And I know for a fact that a young Will Smith and DJ Jazzy Jeff made a song called Nightmare on My Street.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what that one's called?
Nightmare on My Street.
And, and he's in that. And
was it the same dude just doing, like, additional publicity for it? Or was it just some random guy?
No, I think it was Robert Englund.
Okay.
Yep. And
how does that compare to the Addams Family rap?
I'm going to say better.
Did the Fat Boys have a Freddy Krueger song as well?
I think they did, actually, now that you mentioned it.
Oh, man. I've got to cheat. Oh, dear.
I'll see if I can find it first, but I think you're right. So the character definitely went places. And as we mentioned earlier, this also spawned a TV series, which was an anthology series called A Nightmare on Elm Street, the series. But unlike Friday the 13th, there were actually several episodes involving Freddy, but not as the dream demon. It dealt a lot more with him back when he was alive, as a serial killer. So
that's interesting.
Yeah, they actually, that one of this episodes was his trial that they talk about in the film. So, let's see here.
So, even with Freddy's, he's killing the kids.
Yes.
Of the parents that killed him.
Yes.
But did they ever into... Because after one... They never went into the point or the series. Did they ever go like the parents were just as monstrous as he was or anything like that? Because I've never seen the series.
I don't think they ever tried to shift the blame because he was a serial killer before he became the monster.
Right.
So they never tried to portray Freddy as being sympathetic, except in one very like icky kind of way, and it's more involving his mother. He's the bastard son of 100 maniacs.
How's that even possible? Gross. <Yeah.
laughs> Oh, and I actually just found something because I was going through the Freddy page. There actually is there's another real world explanation for the origin of Freddy's glove. Are you ready for this? So Wes Craven had a cat, and his cat just shredded the shit out of his couches. And so apparently, like, this must have been happening at the same time. And he's like, you know what? The guy's got claws. And he scratches stuff up. Let's see here.
I thought you were going to say he just crafted the glove from the remnants of the couch.
No.
Just, all that was left was enough for a single glove. Strongest cat.
I'm glad he went with the claws. It could have been like a furry man in a sweater running after kids.
Yep. Yep.
I wish he had cat ears.
He could have pillow hands that he would suffocate.
Yeah. Did you guys also notice there is...
No.
Okay, Samantha, just a moment. Some others of us might have. There is another horror movie playing in this film. Did anybody notice it?
No.
Is it Greg?
No. It's The Evil Dead. They're watching The Evil Dead.
Oh, I've never
seen it. I love The Evil Dead series. But much like Freddy, they are far more a comedy than they are a horror series. But it, actually, there was something really funny about that because... these guys, Carpenter, Raimi, and Craven, like, they're all fans of each other's work. So they kept, like, putting, like, little subtle little nods in it. Like, in Evil Dead 2, Freddy's glove is there. And Freddy, of course, has a huge crossover with Jason, the subject of our previous episode.
I remember when those were coming
out. Oh, but Samantha, back in the day, when Jason's Dead... the last of the Jason films came out, they gave us a huge, huge like hype piece because when Jason's mask is lying on the ground, Freddy's glove comes up out of the ground and grabs it and pulls it to hell. Mm-hmm. It's great. Yep.
I can see that. People probably lost their
damn mind. Did.
They're probably like...
They did. So apparently, also Freddy at Six Flags St. Louis.
Been there.
Apparently, for like Halloween nights, they often theme it after Freddy and or Jason. So
I would never, ever, ever go to Halloween any Halloween night except Disney. Never.
Yeah, that's something I've never had an interest in.
I don't want to get chased.
Or the corn mazes and that kind of stuff that they do.
Oh, God. The haunted corn mazes.
Maze.
One time before I moved back to California, like, Wesley, Nathan, and I, we went to try to find a corn maze, but they didn't know where one was, so we were just driving around, and I think we came upon some, like, random haunted house, like, run out of somebody's actual house, and it was dark. So they're like, we're going here, and we had to pay like $6 to go in it, and they put a lot of work into it, but also like this was like smartphones weren't really a thing quite mm-hmm. yet, they're just about to appear, so we couldn't look anything up. We just guessed and just went to this place, and we probably could have got murdered for real, but there was a part where you're like in, they like lead you into this like kind of cattle car thing. I don't really know. It was like a cage on a truck bed, and then some guy comes with a chainsaw and goes like, and then he lets you out. So you can keep walking.
He's not fully committed on killing you. Just, oh, you can go ahead. Yeah.
They were short staffed that day. Normally he does this thing and then someone else comes in.
yeah, must be because he's like. Aah!
Have a good night, y'all. Yeah.
Speaking of cell phones, or I guess smartphones not being a thing, what do you all think of Johnny Depp's setup when he went to bed before Freddy got him in the movie?
Oh.
TV in the lap, earphones on.
TV, 57-pound TV, like, resting on a femur.
That's not going to overheat.
And this is not the one with the waterbed kill. I always confused it. There's one that's later on down the road.
Four, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, he's also got the record player and the like super long headphones. That's awesome.
Crop top.
Yep, his crop top. He does have his crop top on.
He's just relaxing, getting ready for bed. I mean, I can only imagine what it would be like to wake up, I don't know, rolled over your television, broke the antenna.
oh, yeah.
If he lived, that guy would not be having children.
You're right, because like I said, that's not a little like this. That was a heavy TV. That, you know, slightly less heavy than the family television downstairs was that thing. But, all right, so that's something that's always bugged me, like from TV shows and movies or whatnot. Did anyone ever have a room as decorated as a room in a, like, television series or something like that? No.
Yes.
Could never get anywhere near close to the sheer amount of, like, street signs and posters and...
No. I had, especially in our house in Illinois, and in California, I had every inch of my wall covered with, like, posters and things I printed off the internet or cut out of magazines, like my door even, just covered.
Yeah, I just got the post.
And I had,
oh, God, sorry.
Oh, and I had like hippie beats, but
No, I always kept the book fair poster and just as a Lamborghini, put it up.
Yep.
That's cool.
Yep, that's the one.
This represents
me. I got to know, the Countach or the Diablo?
It was the Countach all day.
Okay. All right. So I would be remiss if I also did not mention there was a Nightmare on Elm Street video game. Similar to the Jason one, it is produced by LJN, but I did not know this, and now I feel kind of cheated that we don't have this on the Rare collection. This game was developed by Rare. The company that would go on to make, Perfect Dark, Donkey Kong Country, things like that.
GoldenEye.
Yeah. And again, it's a similar type, except this is one that you could play with four characters at the same time if you had the Nintendo NES 4-score. Mike, do you have that accessory?
Jeffrey had it.
Oh, cousin Jeffrey always has the accessories.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this one was like a beat 'em up, and your goal was to, instead of saving camp counsel or children at the camp, like in the previous mentioned Friday the 13th game, your objective was to get Freddy's bones and dispose of them in the school's furnace.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Very specific. Any furnace could potentially do, and I know the plot of the movie, but.
I would go to a crematorium, you know, like somewhere where they burn human bones.
Just a conversation. Oh, here's four of us. We've got some human bones. Can you burn these bones, please?
Yep.
Or like the vet's office or something, you know, somewhere.
Well, we could try, but the fire's not hot enough, yeah.
I know a place, the school's basement.
I figured out exactly where there's an open flame in the school.
So in this game, you played as normal people collecting Freddy's bones, and did he just randomly attack you? I don't remember this game at all.
Apparently, yes, he would show up after a while because the game mechanic unique to the title is the sleep meter. The meter indicates how close the player is to falling asleep, and if you apparently fall asleep, it kind of turns like Castlevania 2, like A Terrible Night to Have a Curse.
Oh, yeah.
Like, everything gets much more difficult. And apparently there are power-ups scattered through the level to help you, like, decrease the dream meter or wake up. It involves coffee is the thing that makes the dream meter go down. And here's the best one. if you collect the boombox placed somewhere in the level, it'll change the dream world back to the regular world. So, yeah.
The boombox.
Yes, the boombox.
Okay.
Is LJN that company that is pretty widely hated?
Yes, yeah. They're the one. They were. They are the one that had the LJN rainbow on the box. Was pretty much a guaranteed.
They were mostly like shovelware kind of stuff, though, right?
They were big on licensed games. Yeah. They got the licenses for films like these, comic books. They definitely had a bunch of X-Men and Spider-Man games.
The Uncanny X-Men. I owned that game. It was so bad.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah. So they're the ones that that constantly get crapped on. But they were not, like, actually a game company. They were just a publisher.
Hmm.
So, like I said, like, this one was developed by Rare. And, you know, we love Rare nowadays. Or we did for a while.
Yeah, but, I was going to say, their heyday was still the 64, yeah.
Yeah. Really? You think over Super?
Rare.
Yeah. I mean, Donkey Kong Country is great, but...
Yeah.
I mean, come on. GoldenEye and Perfect Dark were the best things they ever did. And stuff that I didn't play, like Jet Set.
Gemini? Jet Set Gemini.
Or Jet Force Gemini or something. I don't know. People liked it. The Banjo-Kazooie games I heard were good. Donkey Kong Country. They did DK64, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. They did.
Which I also didn't play.
Hmm.
But I know of the rap.
I was going to say, you got to know the rap. Just while we're on the subject of Donkey Kong Country, have you seen Donkey's video regarding Donkey Kong Country?
I saw where it was last December where he just went through all of them.
Yeah, but he's got one that's just like about the series itself. You should watch that one. Hmm. It's really good. It's really funny. Does anyone have anything left to say about Mr. Fred Krueger?
No.
Why am I thinking of... George's boss from Seinfeld now. What was his name?
Ooh, good question.
Steinbrenner?
No. The one, it was Krueger, wasn't it?
The Yankees one?
No, that's Steinbrenner. It was on the Festivus episode.
I don't know.
Yeah, Mr. Krueger.
I think that's one of those names. It probably is a real last name, but man, if you have that last name, I bet you got tired of being called, like Freddy Krueger. I've never met a Voorhees, but I think I've met a Krueger or two. Well, I guess
you've met a few Jarvises.
I have. Tom Jarvis. Yeah. Well, I guess with all that, we'll just say goodbye, folks, and sweet dreams tonight. See you later. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.